Well, howdy do.
Where's the little boy at?
He's around.
Play and talk.
Well, have a seat. Let me give you a 7-Up or something.
No, I don't drink. 7-Up makes me sick. You know, I got sick on one time going to Great Lakes. Never have. I like 7-Up since.
Is that right?
Yes. It and dill pickle. Man, that's one thing.
Well, this is not what you like, but it's better than nothing.
Oh, that's old Gator's need.
Yeah.
I'll make beer get you. This will make beer get you.
Make it.
Where's Professor? Where's he at?
He's sleeping. He's around. We sort of waiting on Cookie. Come out and check on some of the machinery. What'd you say that he'll be in a little while? What'd you say that made you do?
I said that's the fly to make the bear get you. You know, get too hot. You've heard people say the bath, you know. When you get too hot, you know, that's what they say. You drink ice water. I don't drink much ice water because I sweat enough and get hot enough, so I don't have to worry about that. But anyway, you say when you drink too much ice water, you get bear caught. That's true, too. That bear sure catch you. Well, that hot weather, that sun out there will. I don't know. You see, you can see bears. I got hot last year. I couldn't hardly talk, so I don't know. I wasn't looking for no bears, but I was looking to knock off. Willie come by, and I'm so doggone pushed. I've been spraying up that on the job 3.5 days. Man, my hands be like a finger's gonna break off. I've tooted that old spray gun so much. Got it stuff all on my arms and in my face. Blew back on me yesterday.
What you spraying?
Poison. You mean what am I spraying?
Yeah.
Grass, weeds, and bushes.
Oh.
Been spraying some of that old Argentine centipede lawn grass. And then spraying the fences, you know, briars, bushes, grass. And then spraying on electric fences. Now, I've been spraying for myself. When I get off the evening, like last Saturday when Mr. Miles come over, I spraying out old Santa Fe grass. Man, that stuff's gonna take Florida. Good God, that man that brought that stuff in Florida, I'd like to get him and throw him in Orange Lake out there and douse him down 2-3 times. Get him back and throw him in Germany.
That's right.
Man, that's you know what I call that grass? Lazy man's lawn. It's the only thing you can name it. Hey, everybody, boy, I really like that grass. I said, yeah, because you don't have to cut it but once a year. I said, you lazy man lawn cutter. I got a brother's got it. I told him, I said, now I'll help you set it out. And rose just like I set that out the house, the hard way. I says, I'll help you any way you want to get. Just so you don't ask me to go and help you get no sympathy. A friend I was up there, one of them lightners, had a whole field that done taken his field. And he told Monroe, he was walking all up. Well, got Brother Martin's dump truck. Well, there I was, hanging on a limb, going against what I said. Went out there and cut it in blocks and put it out in his yard. And I got it eating up my pasture. And I sprayed, Mr. Albert used to use Dipone. That's in a can, looked just like a coffee can, pan coffee can. It looked like bones. And when you pour it, you use it with water. You pour it water over them Real wet stuff. It looks just like bones, you know. Disappear. But I don't think it does too much good. I think it fertilizes instead of kills it. But you use it with water. Now this year spray, you use it with diesel or kerosene. He's been using kerosene up this past, well, last year. His daughter told him, said, "Daddy, won't you use diesel so you get more good out of it, and you don't have, you ain't throwing away as much as you do that kerosene, because I believe the diesel is just a little bit powerful, see." So he changed. So I've been using that, and I've been getting some along from him. And well, I was going to say, I bought a diaphone for him, and I put four cans on place. Oh, it, I guess a circle about as big as this is in here. Maybe not that big. And I put four pound cans of that stuff, and you get it. It cost $2.65, I believe, what he charged a pound. And I put four cans down when I went back to work Monday. I said, I'd like to get another couple of 3 pounds if you got that stuff. She turned and said, "My good life, Frank, what are you putting on?" I said, "I'm putting it on that grass." "You mean to say you got that much grass?" I said, "Man, I used four pounds on it." I swear, my good life, it'll kill it. Shoot, man, I thought it did too. Went out there and everybody says, "What you trying to do, Frank? Said you passed your fire?" I said, "No, why?" "Well, I see that circle burned out yonder on the field." I said, "Yeah, it's burnt important." So I went out there, and boy, it was just as brown as a whole. This heater looked worse than that. Just like you do burnt ash, burnt oil or something out there on it. I went back before the winter, before the summer was over, right the last part of summer. Oh my goodness. That stuff was all over that thing. Just spongy like that. We'd come back up. I said, "That ain't doing nothing but fertilizing." So I told him about it. I said, "You know that place where I told you I put them 4 pounds of that diaphone?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You know that blame stuff's out is right back out, and it burnt that, well, it looked worse than that back of that chair there on the ground and all." So he said, "My goodness, life." So I told him last year, I said, "Mr. Albert, I believe this year this grass and bush and weed killer will kill that grass. I believe put it to sleep where you want it to worry." And he said, "Yeah, let's try some of it." So we tried it, put 8 ounces to the 2.5 gallons of diesel. And you know, I sprayed that stuff real hard, and it looked like in a half a day it's just gonna come up by the roots and kill itself. And go back there 2 days later, and Dad burned it, wasn't some up turning green. And I said, "Good God, Moses." And then anybody talking about it, "What you want to kill that grass for?" I said, "Shoot, what's gonna eat it? There ain't nothing gonna eat it." I said, "You can't mow in your lawn but once a year." So that's the reason everybody likes it, because they call it lazy man's lawn. I had some in my lawn. I kill that stuff. Everybody says, "I let it go and kill it at the edge of the fence." I said, "No, I ain't either. I'm going to kill it. I've got a place I'm at about..." Well, Mr. Miles was out there Saturday. I had a place about 4 times big as this room. And I hadn't been back, I don't know why I went out there Sunday and looked. See, I had done not, but I killed another place that side road. And got 3 more up in the big field. And I sprayed Dave Bull yesterday, and it come a little drizzle on it. Well, when it rains, I don't see it. Don't generally do much good, not unless it's been out at least 30 minutes to an hour.
Oh, yeah.
But, what did you say, Mr. Miles was?
He's around somewhere. But, he'll be in. Frankie, you're spraying for Mr. Zetrow now? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing this week.
Uh-huh.
And then been spraying for myself, too, in the evening. But,
Well, what do you if that won't kill it, what will kill it?
I don't know, Mr. Zetrow. I said, well, all we're doing, Frankie, is just prolonging it. Said, after a while, it'll be just all over the whole business. Now, he's got pastures out. I've been spraying ever since I've been up, and I believe I went to work for him in 1964. I believe I did. Now, I might have been 65, but I believe 64. And I've been spraying fences and grass ever since then. But the first, 3 or 4 years, I'd say about 4 years, we was using that Dapon. And it'd kill it out, but you just have to stand there, you know, which it, I don't know which is the cheapest. That cost $2, I believe it's $2.65 a pound. And you put a pound to 2.5 gallons of water, 2.5 gallons of water. The water's plentiful. But that doggone diaphone's not in your time, so you got to figure all that in. By the time you figure that in, well, I don't know, your diesel's about 18-19 cents a gallon. That's, well, you've got about, well, I don't know how to figure from $6 to $7.19 a gallon of spray. I can't figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
To 8 ounces. But I guess it's cost more this way, but I believe you get will stand a better chance of killing it. But I tell you, you see, I want to get over that. What I got, which I don't know how much more I got. See, I just walk in the pasture. I've got to walk the pasture and see how many more places. See, the cows, they eat the seed on.
Mm-hmm.
The seed, it get up about that high. A little spur thing runs up about a bunch of seed. And what I was trying to get the other end, and if I didn't kill it, is to get it sprayed over where them cows won't bother to see and won't bother the seed and kill it somewhere else. But, now I don't know where to kill them seed. I'm not. Now that might be the trouble. Now them seed goes drops back, see.
Yeah.
And comes right back up top when it, you know, doing the water, it stays there. But I'm gonna watch one place hadn't seeded and another place had, but it's one place I wanted to cut up and plant some hay grass, but and I've been intending to do it for the past 15 years and ain't done it yet, so.
What would you plant?
I'm gonna plant that Pangola Coastal Bermuda, but I like Pangola. Pangola's hard to beat for hay. I've always been used to Pangola, which you cut the you can cut the Coastal Bermuda about 3 times a year, you know, if you're able to fertilize it, because it grows fast. It'll grow right back up in a little while. But you can get a lot of people say you can't get two crops of Pangola, but you can. If you'll start with it early, mow it off, mow your weeds if there's any weeds in it. Mow it down good. And then slap fertilizer to it. And don't wait down, let the wind blow it down. It gets up about as high as this table, see. Knock it down, get with it. Take it up. Go right back and then slap another potion of fertilizer on it. And you get two good cuttings, because Mr. Cockle tried that out there on his ranch out there. Cockle Walk Ranch out in Archip. So I used to work with him. Y'all know Mr. Cockle, don't you? Down here. Like Dutch. About everybody around here knows him. He's a big wheel, always a big wheel. Producing. watermelons, and now he's in the horse business. He sold that out there and went in the horse business.
Now he'll go broke.
Making more money than Carter's got pills. Of course, he already had a hat full, but of course, he's spending a lot on them registered cows out there. I know in land, I tell you one thing, what run my goodness alive.
Well, good morning.
Hello there, Chief. One thing what run him out of business is land. I tell you, that locked away tax, man, they've been $3 an acre for old back then when I was working him. I tell him, I said, I don't see how you stand.
$3 an acre?
Who is that?
$3 an acre on the, you know, that's what they value the land. Of course, they cut it back a mite bit when they run it all together. Mr. Carpenter, you know, when he had that ranch out there, well, he had the 1,100 acres out there.
I never knew. I always wondered why in the world he went out of business. He had such a good.
Well, he did, there. And he made money on them bulls. See, us canning bulls off, showing them, you know.
Yeah.
But just like I told your wife, it's costing money. A registered stuff costs money, and where you can go through with it, you know, just commercial cows, you get by without all that, you know, registering them and, you know, putting chains on them, numbering them all the way you can go to them and tell which one you want, and the mother of that, and all that tattooing them and testing them every 6 months or something like that. That runs down the money. And all them bulls, see, when you had them things, you had to feed them, you had to wash them, you had to cur them, and monkey around with them, then they had to be checked so often. And I tell you, when you figure it all up, but he told me, come right down to it, he says, I tell you, Frankie, the land's too doggone high in Lachway County.
Yeah.
Said, see, he sold one part of that about 300 or 400 acres to a fellow named Bunk from down at St. Petersburg. And that left him, I don't know, some of them said there's more than 1,000 acres now. I think there were two, because I believe Mr. Carpenter had close to 800, but he said he had 600 or 700, I believe, or something. So anyway, he sold that across that little old highway he had put down. Waited all that many years and used to go in there and you'd almost drowned out.
Mm-hmm.
Your cars, you go in some mud holes, sand holes, you go over the running board about that far. So, all them years now, you work there with commissioners and all and get a decent road, and then didn't drive on very long. He sold out. I said, man, what good did your road do? Said, not a bit of good. Said, that's the way it is.
Oh, that was pretty over there. I went over there once or twice just before he sold out.
Yes. Yeah, I used to do the all the mowing over there when it's last. Doing Johnny Mixon, he is a manager, but he got away, he didn't do nothing but ride. Mr. Carpenter would come around, look at me to do all of it. Do the mowing and the feeding of all them stuff, too.
Yeah.
Wait late, you know, and come in there. And I'd knock off. I'd been like anybody else. I just knocked off and went on home. But see, he was raised up out there, and Willie's wife's brother, you know.
What's that?
I say that's...
He was raised up there. He was what?
We was all raised up together, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the families wasn't too far apart there, and Mixons and Chitties and all. So.
Yeah.
I'd known him all his life, and the boy, he did have a kind of rough time of it.
Who is that?
And Johnny Mixon.
Oh, yes. I know about Mr.
Cochran. So, I'd stay and hit him. Any other hand, though, boy.
You
5 o'clock come, shoot, they were gone.
You stay and help Johnny Mixon.
Yeah, I'd stay and help him for a charge, but I'd after that by
And home. He's Sybil's brother?
Yeah. Yeah, he's a baby.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a big family then. Must have been about, I think Ms. Mixon must have had about 13 kids, I think she has had. 11 live.
Yeah.
I believe that's the way it is. I'm in sisters.
Well, every time one of them gets sick, Sybil's got to go visit them.
Well, he takes you. Well, just between me and you, that's reason Willie does like he does. Something got him in picked, so shoot, man, I'd have been done, set her down and paddled her good. I guess that's the reason I didn't marry.
Cookie, I'm waiting for Cookie to call. He ought to call now in a minute. I was having a little trouble with that mower, and I thought, well, I'll just check it. Cookie to save a little time. We can go on out there and fool with it. Let's wait a minute till that Cookie call.
What's Cookie?
It chokes up a little bit.
Well, that's cause you've something wrong with your blade.
Yes.
Willie told me. He said don't be too happy about it, but he come by there and I was eating none, and he told him come on, pull up a chair and have a little chow, and I was getting with it. I said, by golly, everything kind of happens, and so, I said, well, boy, I've been looking for you. I said, yeah, they just told me, I haven't been a long time with you. Down here looking for me again, so. Busy man these days, can't hardly catch me. I've had plenty of work, I've been spraying steady for 3.5 days. I told you why, my hand's about blistered.
This is a good spraying time.
Good spraying time, and man,
see,
I'm telling you, it's
hot. What he said about that, all that mixing, what was that? Did you get that?
How he mixed
Why
it?
He didn't know.
Oh, the mixing. No, I didn't.
He's just throwing off on several of some of them. I didn't get that. That's the reason he didn't get married, he said. What was that?
Tell me, Frankie, why you didn't get married.
Well, I don't know. I couldn't find nobody had me, I guess. Yeah, I had 2 or 3 chances to fiddle them up, so ain't got nobody to blame but myself.
Now, that caused. Frey, help me out here. I want to get this straight. It's simple. Everybody gets simple about the big family. Whenever she gets sick, she got to visit them.
That means Willie's got to go too.
Well, now, I don't know. I guess does if he can go. But a lot of times now, see, he's blocked a lot of that going. Only going to Gainesville. See, yeah. And because he's going to sleep. He's got to get his sleep, and he sure can't get up. You know, not unless something real bad, you know, he would. But I'm talking about, he'd be like me, some cutting a fool, as we call it, you know. But he went to, I told him something, I said, well, Mr. Church. I said, yeah, I said, we went up to Martin's. And went around, said, then we'll come back by and see Lola. I said, yeah. I said, well, we missed you down at church. So, Sybil said, I went up there to cure my what in the dickens did I go up by now? Oh, yeah, cure my letter to come from Carolina. From cousin up by getting hitched up. So, it laid there for about 3 days, and I said, well, I'll run it up there several tonight. Run by there this evening, but I gotta walk out and get it and go do something else. So when I come in from work, I just go right out and start working for myself, so I'll get it a lot, you know. So I said, well, I brought you a letter. I said, it's been down there for about 3 days, so I hope ain't nothing wrong. Sybil said, no, it looked like a graduation or some kind of something. I said, yeah, that's what I told Mom. Probably was. But it was a cousin getting her daughter was getting married. But anyway, he said, no, I said, we hadn't been around to see Lola, so we had to go by and see Lola. I said, yeah. So, what I was talking about a while ago, and that way she goes on a lot of times, I'd put her under the wonder and let her wiggle a while. Boy, I wouldn't take things from men. I'm not throwing off on wives. It's good to be married. And I wish I'd have married. I think a man should get married one time if he don't stay married, but
put it on the one.
But the thing about it is, you got to get the right one.
I know I done. I don't know how I missed.
Put her out of the window, not a wiggle.
Yeah, that's what I always told Mama now. I mean, Margaret now. I say, well, if I got one as honor as that, and I'd put her in the one and let her wiggle.
I don't know why I never thought that. I don't know anything about
it. Maybe that's the reason Miss Miles is so small. You been putting in the one and letting the one down on it.
Well, who is Lola?
That's Dal Whittington's wife. Of course, he's in bad shape, too. They both are in bad shape. But boy, the way that woman's cussed and going on. I tell you, it's...
Well, she's Sybil's sister?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's the one that's sick.
Is she the one that's sick?
And her husband, too.
Yes, and he's got some kind of uncurable something. They thought maybe they might accidentally, get him good enough this past summer, first of the summer, to operate on him. They carried him up by and examined him back about the middle of the summer. He about, I think last month before last now. And said there wasn't nothing they could do for him. It'd be better for him just go ahead because my problem stand a chance of living longer if they go in there. I don't know, it's some kind of something real bad. A heel set, his head down, he slobbers about all the time. He's had a stroke on one side, and has to pull his leg. That's the way I get when I walk out there, my hip goes dead. And then I have to stop right then.
Your what?
My hip. Got a, where the joint goes,
Yeah.
Walk, I get so doggone, it gets so doggone dead and all, I almost had to pull my leg.
What happened to you?
I don't know, so I've always had arthritis.
Oh, always? Oh, I see.
Well, no, it hadn't always bothered me in my hip. It hadn't bothered me in my hip but the year before last started.
Oh.
But I've had arthritis in my neck, got it in my shoulder and my arm. Which I've done a mite bit better since I quit smoking. I'll have to agree there. But and my teeth kind of bad. I had some teeth pulled out. That might be it.
Your teeth bother you?
Some of them getting where they bother me now.
I'm
sucking these here balls. I've been chewing gum the past 3 days.
What's that to do for?
And my mouth kind of getting. What is that? That's to take the idea of a cigarette.
Oh.
Y'all have a ball.
Yeah. You have you haven't been quit long.
No, this coming month I'll be quit a year.
And you still touching balls?
Still touching balls.
But you
Miss Miles have one.
You just
they're not red hot, they're just regular candy balls. Well,
you just like balls, that's the only thing. That just gives you an excuse for
I get them red hots too. Some of them so hot, by God, I almost had to spit them out.
What do you mean?
They have these red hots too, just like this.
I never heard of that.
And then they have these candy balls, they're just for kids to suck, like a kid, can't take too much out of hot stuff, pepper. I don't know what to put in. It's just like red pepper to me. I got one the other day and I swear I figured I was going to have to throw it out. But I opened my mouth and draw in a little air, Kept on doing that till I got why I get me a drink of water, and I got me a drink of water, and I kind of slosh that thing around. And after a while, it gets on off, so you get used to it. And it's just like these are. But I just picked this up, see, I was chewing gum, and so I just got saying, I said, I think I'm going to, I get tired. I bit my tongue 2 or 3 times. Felt just like a bit of hunk out of it. And one time I bit it up at Martin's and it bled a little bit, I had to burn home. I'm gonna have to quit chewing gum, look like. And boy, I seen one guy down there, he quit along the same time I did while I bought that car last year. And boy, he was chewing it. And I told that salesman, I said, boy, if that was me and my tongue got in the wrong place, I wouldn't have no tongue. Boy, he was chewing it, man. I mean, he was cutting that stuff and partly smacking. I said, good God. He says he's on the same deal you are. He's trying to quit smoking.
Yeah.
And he's working on that gum. The man asked him something about insurance. And he was just standing, just going. I mean, if, like I say, if something would have jammed, he'd have broke something. Because he had half born shoes.
Did you have some trouble quitting?
Well, Mr. Miles, I've tried to quit ever since I was real young.
Yeah.
And shouldn't ever start smoking, but it's just a habit. Kids pick up, you know. I started back out when I was, well, I smoked some 28 years, I mean. And I had a bunch of girls say, Frank, won't you quit smoking? I said, I sure would like to. And I'll quit as I was 4 days and get so dad burn nervous and I'd want to pull my own hair out. And that started back.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to quit on manpower, see. But this time, my sister said, well, I tell you, I said, I wish you and Layman would get, y'all quit smoking. They always call me Judge or something like that, you know. So more of them call me Ben. And so they used to call me Stingy, see, a long time ago.
Stingy?
Yes, my name's Stingy Bone and me. But, said, Judge, I'm going down to Oak Yard tomorrow to get groceries. I said, you want me to pick you up a pack of that neck band? I said, yeah, pick me up a pack. I said, I've been sitting here watching that. I said, of course, I know they're lying about all them that quit and all that stuff, but I said, I'll try it. It's just, I don't know, $2 or $3 and something throw it away, you know, if I don't quit. So brought her home, and she goes to town on Thursday, like the day she's going to town. So,
your mama?
No, my sister.
Your sister?
Yeah. So, I can't, they can't afford to get me off town. Shoot, I'm going to stay away from towns. I go over to the big city of Orange Lake to do our grocery buying. But anyway, talking about this cigarette deal. So, she bought a pack and says, all right, there's your neck band now. So, I read the directions. I don't ever take no medicine, nothing unless I read the directions. You know? I'm peculiar like that. So, I read on there, you know, it said, if you're going to take it, don't smoke. Because, especially messing with machinery, because it make you dizzy, you know, and kind of get you off balance, you know, a lot because you get hurt. Well, you know, that kind of puts you kind of a little bit of different thing on the view, you know. So I said, well, you know, I was mowing at the time. I was running that mow. So I had two cigarettes in one pack and one pack in my drawer in the room there. I said, well, I just before going to bed, I said, well, I'm going to smoke these two cigarettes. Smoke one and smoke one about 15 minutes later after I got on reading the paper. Well, that's the last cigarettes in that pack. I balled it up, threw it in the fireplace, and got up and got one of them tablets. And I said, well, here goes. Those tablets kind of taste good, you know.
Oh.
So I go to bed, you know. Got up the next morning. I didn't have no idea to want to smoke, you know. I just reached over on the table, went in there and got my glass of tea and didn't much want it. And I generally always drank tea, you know, year round. I guess about the second place to go when I get up. Just go and get me a glass of tea. A lot of times I do it before I put on my shoes, you know. But I went on in there and got me a tablet or a stick of gum, one. And put one in one pocket and one in another. I said, well, Mom, I'm gone. All right, be careful. So I went on off, boy. I was on that old lake just cutting it back and forth there. And I'd catch my hand going down my pocket for a cigarette. Every now and then I'd even get me a chew gum. I'd take one of them, and I didn't take them too much. You know, I think we would take about four a day, 4 and 8 hours, something like that, tablet. So I'd get me a stick of gum. And I kept on like that, but boy, I just feel like my feet pick up after I'd eat, you know. I want a cigarette, that's what I always did want. Good smoke, see, after eat. And man, that's the reason I guess, drank so much tea. And I wasn't, a bad smoker. I didn't smoke 3 packs a week. And then back then, really, when I wanted to quit, and I couldn't do it. So, and I got up here a while back before I quit. Well, I think it's a week before I quit, or a week before that. Mom always got me 6 packs, see. I smoked 6 packs a week. Well, she got me a carton. And if some left over, and if it ain't left over, see, she'd just take the carton. And see, I was smoking these here Raleigh. For them coupons, I quit smoking Lucky's. Everybody said, boy, if you'd quit smoking them blame Lucky's, you'd quit coughing. I said, oh, shoot, there ain't nothing to that. And I smoked Lucky's, well, practically all my smoking time. And Mono told me one day, says, Frank, if you'd do, I believe you'd change cigarettes. I said, you know, Lucky Strike cigarettes is strong anyway. I said, well, I'm used to them. So he said, yeah, that's the trouble. They're not filtered. I couldn't get used to the filtered cigarettes when they come at you. So these happen to be filtered. So I got saving them coupons, you know, and see different ones, what they got and all. But anyway, Mom been putting these in the carton, you know, and so I knew I had 8 cigarettes, a pack of cigarettes. And Monroe's boy, youngest boy, picked it up from some boy, you know, and he was slipping cigarettes. Well, I went in there one night and I knew I had a pack of cigarettes. I knew, by golly, if something was wrong, I was going crazy, because that's always I looked out for my cigarettes, because I wasn't a guy to run down yonder so and so and borrow a pack of cigarettes from, you know. I made a habit, Daddy told us when we started smoking, said, you're going to have to buy your own. And I don't catch you bumming off nobody. So, I made it a habit. I hardly ever bummed a cigarette off anybody, not unless I was changing one or something like that. I'd say, him, what about smoking one of mine and you? Oh, I don't want none of them sorry things you smoke. Him. Something like that, you know, change cigarettes, something like that. But, I said, Mom, I'm missing a pack of cigarettes. I said, I don't know anything about it, son. I put them in there the first of the, I mean, Saturday night. So, you smoke them. I said, well, I had a pack of cigarettes here. I'll bet it. I'd stand on the Bible and swear it. There's one pack of cigarettes, because I know how my time runs. So, right at the time, I was having a little trouble with Dennis. That's one of those oldest, youngest boys. About smoke. I said, now I hope he hadn't come in and sneak that pack of cigarettes. Sure enough, went down there and he was in the bathtub running water. And I knew what his dad would do, because he's hot-headed, you know. And get on to him, you know. And so I told Danny, I said, Danny, I'm pretty sure Dennis got my last pack of cigarettes. I said, and I got to have it closed. The store's all closed. I said, shoot, there ain't nowhere around here. And I got to have cigarettes, because I have to work. I'll have to get off work, and I won't be able to get none. So he went down and said, Dennis, did you get Uncle Frank's last pack of cigarettes? I said, no. I said, Dennis, did you get Uncle Frank's last pack of cigarettes? I said, no, Danny. Real loud, you know. Mona was in there laying on the bed asleep. So old Danny, he just opens the door and goes on in. He says, Dennis, did you get Uncle Frank's last pack of cigarettes? He said, yeah, but don't tell Daddy. So
He just had to have
them. Yes, he had to have them. So he come out. I says, Dennis, I said, it's bad. I said, you know, I'd call it just taking. But a lot of people would call that peering, doing, stealing. I said, you know, now we didn't want nothing like this to come out. We never did do nothing like that. Which now I'll take back. I slipped back from Daddy for the whole bunch. And
you done what?
I did the slipping of the back when we were smoking. We boys were smoking. I was doing the doggone slipping, see?
Slipping
it from our daddy. But, you know, he'd go to bed and I'd get his pack, you know, and get us out a little bit. You know? Sneak up there and get it while he was there.
Oh, that sack.
Yeah, you know, he used to smoke George Washington. You know, that's in there. One of George Washington's head on the front of it. And,
sack?
No, it's just a pack. No, it's just a pack, cloth, paper. You've seen beech nut,
yeah.
Tobacco, how it comes in. It comes in a paper thing just like that. And,
it's chewing tobacco, not...
No, it's smoking tobacco. George Washington. George Washington and his Granger and
yeah.
Another kind come in that thick foil paper, you know.
Yeah. I just know
of course, you probably never smoked. And
Granger.
You ever smoke Granger?
Yeah.
You look like a Granger smoker.
Well, a lot of times it crumbs it up, you know.
Yes. Yeah, I've smoked that stuff with paper sack. We used to have a friend, and he's the one, by golly, that set us on a lot. He'd go along, you know, him and Daddy be walking, you know, and he'd go along, and he wanted Daddy to catch us. I don't know why the man wanted us. My dad catch it so he beat the snot out of us, I guess, but he just, like his dog, you know. Dog couldn't stand him, a cat couldn't stand him. He'd walk up in the yard, you'd hear the cat go, meow, and off the porch and go. And a dog, he could smell that man and then start barking before he'd ever get to the house. And he used to tell these Mexican girls, several of them, you know, their youngest sister, Francis used to say, I'm gonna put you in a sack and kill you all. And had her so scared of him, she wouldn't come around. She hated the man. Hated him till he died. He died about 4 years ago. And, but boy, he used to be a sight. And Daddy told Mr. Charlie one time, said, Charlie, I don't want you giving them boys no tobacco. And I don't want you, you know, trying to toss them. Take tobacco from you.
Your dad said that?
That's what he told Mr. Charlie. Well, Mr. Charlie, see, that's why I say, he just wanted Daddy to get on us for some reason, you know. He just, I don't know, anxious or something. But we'd ask him for some tobacco, you know, and he'd get behind Daddy. We'd walk a lot on Sundays, you know, just walking around through the woods looking. And he'd slow up, you know, and Daddy'd be about two steps ahead, you know. And he'd dig out some at the back and put it behind, you know. For us to come up and get it. And say, hurry, Mr. Frank's gonna see you, Mr. Frank's gonna see you. Like that, you know? Well, you know good and well, he knew Daddy was gonna hear him about two steps ahead of him. And Daddy was gonna stop saying and say, them boys deviling you to put in the back of Charlie. Finally he did. And, well, Mr. Charlie said, well, Miss Judy, I hate to refuse him. Said, you know what I told you, but I don't know. The man he's just out of way. He really wanted us to get a whipping or something. And Daddy, he wasn't a father that says, well, I'll get you. The only time he said he'd get you, he got you right then.
Right then.
Because he didn't say, well, now, you keep on, I'm going to get a hold of you. It wasn't that's there. And well, we knew to stop when Daddy got a hold of us, and we wasn't whipping us. We had a good Christian mother and daddy. And if we've gone wrong, it's us, not them. Because they tried to put us through school and church and all that stuff.
You started on that sack tobacco. You didn't start off on ready-made.
No, sir. Back, yeah, I remember when you could buy Domino's and Lucky Strikes and Wings back there for 5 cents a pack.
Yeah.
And people look at you, you know, like you're cracked now. But I bought a mini Domino, Avalon, all them old brand cigarettes for 10 cents. Minis I could haul if I'd have won them. But,
no tax then?
No. So, but when they started taxing those after 10 cents, they just went on up that penny, 2 pennies, right on.
Yeah.
Till they got the right on up, and now some places tell me they're 55 cents. At that store, he's got 55 on his sign, but he said he's still he ain't charging 50 yet.
Well, when did you switch over to ready made?
Oh, that was way back in.
When you first started, almost.
Well, we smoked, yes, sir. We smoked a little of this year, Prince Albert, High Plain. We used, me and Monroe used to smoke High Plain. That was in a tin can.
Yeah.
And half and half, we smoked a little of that. And I didn't smoke too much of that Buffalo. That was a Bull Durham. That was in the little cloth sacks, probably the one you're talking about.
Yeah. So, that looks strong.
Yes. An old boy at that store down there in Flemington, our cousin used to own that, Charlie Gray. And over there across the field, behind our place, Cousin Jimmy Chitty lived. And like I told you the other day, Uncle Martin, one time over on that whole block in there, and different ones, you know, come in from Carolina and all, and he sold them up. Probably give it to them, you know, for little enough. Different cuts of it, see. So, well, old Jimmy Chitty, that's Jimmy's boy. He goes down that store and he steals the factory back from Cousin Charlie's. That's his cousin too. So, and he told him many times he wanted anything, you know. That was out. Well, they'd gone from out here then. His daddy, I think, lived in Ocala. And I don't know where Jimmy come out here and stay a while. And he's up there. He'd come up there and play with us. I made an old raft, you know, floating raft, and put it in Mama's pond. And we was in the Flemington pond down there. That's the pond next to our church, you know, that old big pond. Called Johnson Pond. Now, I used to call it Flemington Pond. Now, I call it Johnson Pond. So, we was out there, and oh, we was happy. We was in the boat. I don't know, Harry smoked the boat or somebody. And somebody tilted the boat. And he did like that, and when he did, the sack of tobacco fell off. In the water, and you talking about somebody sick? There's a bunch of a boatload of boys that was really sick, and that thing was floating. You know, it had old paper on one side, it kind of be hard. And he snatched that up real fast. Says, I believe I can save it. So we messed around there and we put some of it out on the boat seat for it to dry. You know how the bark would be after it wet one time, it wasn't no good. We just smoked it, you know, smoked them old. Paper sacks, you know, just like you get groceries in today. It's one we ain't been dead a long time ago. We always pick up cigarette butts and make a cigarette out of them. So, I guess we got to be thankful for. And a lot of people probably never smoked until I got up grown. It's already dead on account of smoking, you know, cancer and stuff.
Well, now, you see, I'm suing that ball, and I'm ready for another one. Now, that's my trouble. If I had
man,
a pocket...
And what do you do?
If I had a pocket full of them, you see, they wouldn't last.
Man, I don't see how you... You know, I put that in my mouth, I think, yeah, that store, at that ball, and walked out. I said, Henry, I'll see you, and I happen to think I need some lawn gas, and I said, well, you might be closed in the time I get back, so I better get me a dollar's worth. So I went out there and got my dollar's worth of gas and high highballed it over here. No, Willie sent me over here and said, now, you want to get that hay cut this scenery. So I said, great God, me got that doggone spray gun just belling out there, sitting on the truck waiting on me. Mr. Albert said, you didn't bring my spray can home. I said, no, man, I was planning on using it the rest of the week. He said, well, I said, nigga's supposed to spray that place up there, at least. I said, I want to let him have that old one. I said, I didn't want to let him have the one you're using now. I said, yes. I said, well, I can bring it home to you. He said, no. I said, man, he might not even spray this week. So, I don't know. I just had a feeling July was really good on that grass. But Willie says next month will be better.
Yeah.
Of course, it will with trees, bushes and things, because that's when your saps, I say, going down, I think. That's the best time to kill trees.
Next month.
Yeah, so you can chomp around one. Like you on that cedar tree killer, you can chop a ring all the way around it into the live tree.
Yeah.
It'll die. I used to think it was always July, but he says August. I killed one in an oak tree down there where Monroe's house built. I killed it. Put a live up there. Dad said, well, you might be sorry that one day. I said, how's that? I said, well, you might want to build a house here. So then that'd be a pretty oak for your front out there, front yard. Boy, I hated that a dozen times after I did that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you always think about things like that. When you cut the pine timber out, you don't know what you got. And I often say, yeah, Daddy told me, said, oh, not to kill that live oak.
Hey, we got it going out there. Let me tell you, you used to shop at Williston?
Used to shop over at the E&P.
Was that a good place?
It was back when we was shopping there.
But you changed over now to Mr. Bartels?
I hate driving Mr. Miles too much. I mean, reason I don't go to town, they got too doggone big. I used to go to O'Kelly, used to go drive up in Gainesville. I drove in Jacksonville, but shoot, man, you might as well just knock me in the head and say, all right, Frank, let's take off and go through Jacksonville. Shoot, man, might as well kill me right now. That much traffic, shoot, ain't none of them places out there. I've driven the outskirts of O'Kelly, but in Gainesville, but I don't like it, but. I used to kill my mother over there, and we used to see the show. That's for television, you know, coming before we get one. So.
But over there in Ocala, you can't hardly find your way now. You got to go. Them streets is all.
Oh, they've all been new.
You can't go one way around the square.
So I got trading over at Mr. Bartels after he made that. Big change and made that North Man Market. I knew Mr. Paul, his dad-in-law, a long time ago. Oh, he got struck. I used to stop in there and get a drink and a little gas once in a while, but not much. And
before he got what?
Before he got lexicated. You know, he got lexicated by lightning.
Oh, yeah.
He had on his rubber boots. He had I don't know if it's back yet when we had one of them storms went. But anyway, there's a lot of water on the ground and it was lightning, you know, and he had been wearing his rubber boots. And he went to, I think, answer the phone. Somebody called him. And when he grabbed that phone, somehow lightning struck something. He got lexicated by having them wet boots on. A lot of people tell me they, you're safe with them on the chute. A little bit of electricity hit your man and knocked your feet. Now, I had that electric fence, Mr. Harvester. I touched it accidentally. It knocked my boots about that far in mud. I mean, feet and all. I can't take much electricity.
Well, what sort of charge did he have on that electric fence?
He's just got a normal charge, but I just can't go with electricity. You know, he can take that thing and put it, he can almost hold that thing, and he's 80. I mean, he's. Let's see, 69 or 70. And he said, "It don't do nothing for me, just tickle."
Yeah.
Yeah, but man, that's something I can't stand. You know, it wouldn't take much to kill me.
That cow can't take much.
You can take a weed, the way he tests his head, and see, he's got two sets of testers right there. But he'll take a weed, and he can tell just about how much he's got on it. And,
oh, that's right.
And
yeah.
See what it's doing now. That one day, I swung around the fence and wasn't thinking about electric wire being there, you know, and I swung around the fence and I got one of them front wheels hung up with a fence, and that doggone wire got down between the wheel,
yeah.
And I slammed on brakes, you know. See, it's setting off about that far from the fence, and I swung around this close place there next to the ditch, and I was going to swing around, see, and I just mashed on the brakes and come right back around. When I did, I heard something go like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This doggone fence, the wire jumped over the front wheel, you know, tricycle wheel, got down there. I said, "Now that thing's alive and high in the dickens, so I'm going to get it off." And I crazy like pick me up a doggone knot and go up there and, you know, knock that thing out of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "Now how in the dickens am I going to get it?" Got me a green weed. Got up there and it did the same thing. Just threw it over my head. I said, "Well, by golly." So it made me mad, and I grabbed up another one real fast and I did it up like that and got it over. I said, "Now I'm going to watch that doggone fence."
Like I said, we go out there. I believe Frankie is the thing can get us started. You get Cookie on the phone. Tell him if he hadn't started, wait till we come back in. If we don't need him, he won't have to come.